I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, you miss stuff? Well, we give you this second opportunity. It's John Cobell's show on demand. It's the podcast version. It's the same as the radio show, just goes more quickly. And you can hear that. It's posted after 4 o'clock on the iHeart app. All right? Everything's on the iHeart app. Everything. Coming up, we got excellent stuff coming up. After 1:30, we're going to talk to ABC News correspondent Alex Stone. There were some Boeing whistleblowers who spoke before Congress today. And one of them, Sam Salapour, says that when Boeing was putting together the 787 planes, the Dreamliner. That's the really big plane. They obviously have very large panels that they need to assemble to create the fuselage. Well, the panels didn't fit. And to force them to fit, he saw Boeing employees jumping on pieces of the airplane, jumping up and down, trying to force them to connect. And when he complained about this to supervisors, they told him to shut up. And one of the supervisors apparently said, you know, if anybody brought that up at a meeting, I'd kill them. So that's the response Sam Salapour got. And to his credit, he keeps going with the story. It is very difficult to speak out against the company you work for. If you think the company is betraying the public trust in some way, or if the company is doing something that you think is clearly unsafe. Now, we'll get into all the nuances of it with Alex coming up after 1:30, but it's a fascinating story, not just about Boeing and planes, but just human nature and how companies respond to possibly valid criticisms. Now, in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to somebody that we heard excuse me, in an audio clip yesterday, but the mayor of Vista, John Franklin. And John has created a homelessness strategic plan. And he testified before a Senate Public Safety Committee meeting in Sacramento because they were debating a bill that would make it a crime if you lay in the streets, you slept or lay or camped within 500 feet of a school, a park, or a transit stop. Now, I should say make it a crime. That's the way it's being portrayed by the lunatics in Sacramento. No, it's not. You got 72 hours to move your stuff. We actually have this law in Los Angeles. Certain zones are designated now that you have to stay 500 feet away from schools and parks. So they want to make it a statewide law. And nobody ever has to get arrested because all you have to do is move 500 feet away. You got 72 hours to move, and they'll give you a list of places where you can go get help, right? That's what's frustrating about all this. We spent, as we know now, $24 billion in state money over the last 6 years so people could get help, but there's nothing that forces them to. And you have this crowd in Sacramento that doesn't even want to force them to get away from the school or the park. And John Franklin gave quite an eye-opening recitation of what school kids in Vista have to go through. We're going to play you that later after 2 o'clock, and we're going to have Mayor John Franklin on because I just can't imagine the frustration. We also have something brewing at USC because the valedictorian is not being allowed to speak because apparently she has said and posted things that are unfriendly to Jews and unfriendly to Israelis. And so now USC has barred her from speaking at next month's graduation. Now, she hadn't even planned what she was going to say, but the school didn't want to trust her, and they also didn't want to trust what the reaction was going to be, because I think it's pretty clear that most people are now fed up with all the death to Israel protests and chants, and they're fed up with the criticism of Israel over trying to protect itself, and really, you know, fed up with the disruptions in traffic, fed up with disruptions on campus, and they didn't want to deal with it. You know, there's death threats flying all over the place, and they did not want Asda Tabusum, if I'm saying her name right, to inflame the graduation ceremony. Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to go to any graduation ceremonies very often because it's gotten so bad. The administrators are all woke. The students are all radicalized. You sit at one of these graduations, and it's like 3 hours of, just shoot me through the head. Same cliched progressive nonsense and radical garbage, and everybody's woke, and everybody's oppressed and offended, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not what life is about for most people. But all the radicals get the speaking spots. The administrators, you know, they're completely over the edge. I didn't know much about this woman. We're going to play you a clip. She was on CNN. Asna Tabusum. She is the valedictorian. And CNN anchor Abby Phillip asks her about her anti-Israel social media posts. And Tabusum defends her post. So let's hear this clip and see what this woman's about.
You just brought up a link that was posted through your social media page. I do want to ask you about that since you did bring it up. One of the items in this post calls for the complete abolishment of Israel. Is that a position that you endorse?
If you're asking me if I stand for human rights, if you're asking me if I stand for equality and unequivocal and unconditional right to life for all people, including Palestinians, then I'm not apologetic. I believe in what I believe, and it is because of the people around me that I've met at USC, the classes that I've taken, the professors that I have learned from, that have led me to look at the world in this way.
I think it was a yes or no question.
You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, human rights is controversial.
The reason I'm asking is because that's what the link said. It called for the complete abolishment of Israel. Abolishment of Israel was in the actual language. Is that something that you endorse?
So the abolishment of the state of Israel, I'd like to clarify, is the abolishment of an apartheid system. It inherently is a system that subjugates Palestinians as dehumanized, and it subjugates Palestinian life as not worth the same as other human life. So, when the link says,
is that a yes?
So is that a yes then?
I think a yes or a no would be an injustice to the issue. And I think that any sort of ideological debate or any sort of academic discourse is worth clarification and worth discussion.
Okay. You know, you have to pay $75,000 a year at USC. I think graduate degrees go for more. So imagine you've pumped in, what, $300,000 into your kids' college education. And they're studying something that has nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with foreign relations. Say you go to the film school, right? Or, you're studying to be a doctor or whatever. Just something completely outside the realm of whatever she's prattling about. $300,000, you bring in the family. You got grandpa and grandma, they're 88 years old. Do they have the USC graduation indoors or outdoors? Because, man, if it's outdoors, it gets hot. Even if it's indoors, it gets hot because the place is crowded. And you know, the last thing anybody wants to do is hear radical politics preached at you in loud, self-righteous tones for hours. I mean, I'd rather go to Guantanamo Bay. Nobody wants to hear this except other crazy radicals. And why can't you just have a graduation where everybody celebrates, hey, we got our degrees, we made it through, let's get on with life, a good thing happened today. Graduation is supposed to be happy, they're supposed to be celebratory, and then they got laden with all this progressive politics and people being oppressed. You know, progressiveness has destroyed all the fun stuff in life. Over the last few years, we've seen it ruin sports for a time, you know, with all the messages on the uniform and the messages painted on the end zones, right? Messages painted on the basketball courts. And, you know, late night television was ruined. There aren't too many laughs after 11:30 anymore, are there? The award shows were ruined for a time. They're trying to crawl back out of it. It's just like everything was ruined. And graduation celebrations are ruined, which is nonsense. Not, normal people don't want to hear this ever from anybody. Just shut up. Argue in your house about this. Besides, you can't do anything about it. I don't know if you saw the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. He is... made it very clear again that Iran's going to be in for a hell of a lot of trouble if this keeps up. So you're not having any effect on Israel. You're not having any effect on the deceased Joe Biden. Just shut up already. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Once again, we're going to have Alex Stone on from ABC News coming up after 1:30's news. Alex is going to tell us about the Boeing employee who said that when the panels wouldn't fit, when they were building the Dreamliner 787, Boeing employees would jump up and down until the panels clicked in, sort of, among other things, at the hearings today in Congress, as more whistleblowers are speaking out against Boeing. Now, another company having issues with its employees, Google. Now, Google, you know, famously had hired so many woke heads from the elite universities and overseas. And the woke heads really found their voice in 2020 during all the uprisings over the George Floyd murder and all that. And they started trying to hold the supervisors hostage, not in a literal sense, but in that they would have these big, massive Google meetings. Everyone would crowd into a room, and the Google supervisors and executives would listen to all the low-level employees bitch and complain and whine and talk about their microaggressions and talk about the offenses that they've had to suffer and on and on and on. I mean, it was woke hell. And suddenly Google realized, oh, my God, this is a massive waste of time. These people are crazy. And they stopped having the meetings. And then when it came time to do layoffs, a lot of those people were laid off. But some of them are still around. Because Google, like any company in the world, just wants to make money. They're not interested in all these social causes. Whenever a company pretends to be interested in a social cause, that's only another way they think they can make money. you know, to create an affinity maybe with a certain customer group. But that's what it is. It's all emotional manipulation. So the Google employees, some of them, are upset that Google and Amazon have a cloud computing contract, an artificial intelligence contract, with the Israeli government and military. Uh-oh. The deal is known as Project Nimbus. It's worth $1.2 billion. Dozens of Google employees held sit-ins in New York City and in Sunnyvale, up in Silicon Valley in California, They demanded that Google and Amazon drop Project Nimbus. They had this sit-in, and they actually sat in the office of the Google Cloud CEO, Thomas Kurian, and they remained there for about 10 hours. Google responded by ordering the arrest of some of the workers. Wow! I didn't think that would ever happen anymore. The arrest of some in Sunnyvale and some in New York, and told they'd be locked out of their accounts, locked out of their offices, and they were not expected to, they can't come back to work until they hear from human resources. Officers arrived at the Google facility in Sunnyvale at 10:30 in the morning. There were about 80 protesters there. Most of them left. Five remained. When those five wouldn't leave around 6:30, they were arrested. They wore T-shirts that read, "Googler against genocide." God, you're so sick of hearing about this genocide thing. That's what Hamas was doing. Hamas woke up that Saturday morning, and their charter is to kill all the Jews, all of them, really. What's wrong with everybody? Had this guy get all turned upside down? Well, everybody likes to lie. We're going to play you a clip of what went on with the protests.
Yeah. Cooperate. Yeah, all going well. It's getting kind of late.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
A little bit ago, wanted to ask you, you know,
yeah,
to cooperate. You know, we've been placed on admin leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we'd like to see if you can just voluntarily, you know, so it's been a while. So can you do that for us? And, you know, move forward in that space, and then you can contact HR and go from there.
Could you get in contact with TK about this?
No, I can't talk about that. I'm just here, I spoke about earlier, because if not, you know, we'll have to call law enforcement and go in that space. And
go in that space. Know.
Get trespassed and all that.
Yeah, we understand.
Okay, just trying again. Okay.
All right.
Wow, that's pretty forceful, huh?
Holy you man. Guys got to leave? You guys refusing to leave?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You first send up.
Now they're getting cuffed here? Well, that's not how you throw out a group of protesters. Oh, well, guys, you know, it's getting late. Maybe you want to go out, you know. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get arrested. You have to call HR. It's like, wow, they really are wieners up there, aren't they? They really are wieners. What you should get is some, get some German shepherds. That'll clear the place out. Get some hungry German shepherds. Here's a software engineer who said, we are not going to be part of powering the first AI-powered genocide. We were willing to get arrested for that because at this point, we aren't willing to be lied to by our higher-ups. We aren't willing to be disrespected by our higher-ups, blah, blah, blah. So go. So quit. So you're not going to cancel the $1.2 billion contract that Google and Amazon signed. You are not going to stop Israel from using AI and cloud computing and high-tech. That's not happening. So You are ineffective, flaccid, and pointless. These people are probably all making six-figure salaries. They got the golden ticket. They came out of college, probably an elite college, expensive college. They got a chance to work for Google, and now they're going to get kicked out because it's Israel, and Israel shouldn't exist. And everybody in Israel ought to die. and Israel ought to be wiped out on the face of the earth. That's never going to happen, short of nuclear war. Israel is not going to allow it to happen, and neither is the United States. So who the hell are we letting into the country? I mean, a lot of this stuff is really subversive. There's a lot of death to America chants going on now in these protests. It wasn't just death to Israel. Now it's death to America, too. When we come back, how about Boeing? Boeing employees jumping up and down on airline panels, trying to force them to connect. Really. That's next. We're going to talk with Alex Stone from ABC News.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, you can get the John Cobalt Show on demand podcast version, same as the radio show, and you can listen to anything you missed. We're going to talk now about more bad news for Boeing because some witnesses, whistleblowers, testified at two Senate committee hearings today. And one of them, Sam Salapour, said that he saw workers jumping up and down on large panels of the aircraft as it was being assembled to try to close the gaps between two pieces of the fuselage. Seriously. And that's just the beginning of it. Let's get Alex Stone from ABC News on. Alex, how are you?
Hey, John, doing well. Yeah, this is, you remember about a week ago, we began to hear some of his story, and then we knew we were going to hear more today when he was in front of lawmakers on Capitol Hill. So it was a current whistleblower today, that's Sam Salapour, who works at Boeing, claims he's been kind of sidelined and pushed out, retaliated against for bringing up issues. And then a former whistleblower who has not worked at Boeing for around 6 years, and they both were giving their testimony. Quite honestly, though, today, senators of the hearing seemed like the senators were uninformed on Boeing issues. Most of the senators gave their comments, you know, where they were heard, they were seen. Then they left before either of these guys ever gave their testimony. So they didn't even hear that. The senators said, well, we got to wrap it up. We got to get to impeachment hearings. So it seemed like there wasn't a lot of listening to what they said today. But the focus really being on Sam Salapour. And he has been making claims that the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and the 777, he worked on the 777, then moved over to the 787, that he says that the way they're being built, that there are corners that are being cut, that they are speeding things along and not looking at a problem that he claims is there. He said today,
I have analyzed Boeing's own data to conclude that the company is taking manufacturing shortcuts on the 787 program that may significantly reduce the airplane safety.
So what he says is in production that the 787 Dreamliner and the 777, the pieces of the fuselage don't fit together correctly when the different pieces come in, and that Boeing then manipulates the material. In the case of the Dreamliner, it's composite material, not aluminum like the 777, to make them fit together. And he says that they put extreme force on them, that can create failures in the composite material or in the aluminum that over time can rip apart. But he says no matter what they do, that there are still tiny gaps, about twice the width of a human hair. So really small gaps, no matter how much manipulating they do, that they don't fit together correctly. He says over time, over thousands of flights, that those gaps can come apart. The plane can rip apart in the air, and that it could be a danger to the flying public. And he said,
in a rush to address its bottlenecks in production, Boeing hit problems pushing pieces together with excessive force to make them appear that the gaps don't exist, even though they exist. The gap didn't actually go away, and this may result in premature fatigue failure. Effectively, they are putting out defective airplanes.
So, John, Boeing denies all of this. It even slowed production of the 787 a few years ago to test these claims, saying it simulated over 167,000 flights, did not find an issue, says it has full confidence in the 787 and the 777, that this is not a real-life concern, and that this is not something that should be taken as truth. Salapour, though, and then you mentioned this, he says it got as crazy as to force those people together, the pieces together. He calls it the Tarzan effect of jumping on the fuselage in the factory, saying,
I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. I call it the Tarzan effect, among other improper methods.
He's just jumping all over it. So he says he's been retaliated against, a nail in his car tire at Boeing, but he says he can't prove that it was retaliation. His lawyers say that they're not going to release the evidence that they promised they were going to give us last week. Then the former whistleblower also testified today, more on the 737 MAX. He claims that he has documents about the MAX door plug blowout, that Alaska Airlines plane, even though the FAA and the NTSB say no documents exist. He says, yes, they do, but he lost them and cannot produce them any longer. So there are some questions to this testimony. They can't back any of it up with any evidence at this point, or at least publicly. They're not releasing it. And the one guy saying, well, I had the evidence, but I lost it now. So there are questions about that. But they are claiming that Boeing is doing things at the factory to produce planes quickly and doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Well, the first guy, Salapour, that's a colorful story. You can't really make that up. Employees jumping up and down on the panels to force them together.
Yeah, and we know a couple of years ago, Boeing, when they put the pause on the Dreamliner production and they stopped deliveries to investigate some of these claims, they did make production changes, and they admit that they made production changes, but they say that they stand behind the 787s that are out there that were built before the production changes, and they aren't really explaining what they changed, but to try to make things smoother in the factory. One can assume that they kind of said, look, you can't be doing this, and that this is not the way we put these together. The other issue being, you know, planes historically have been made out of aluminum. We are now in the new era, whether it be the 787 or over at Airbus, the A350, I believe, is mainly composite material. It is lighter. It is it just performs better. But we don't really know. His point being, when you manipulate it, we haven't had it long enough, that if you put enough force onto it, at what point does it create a little bit of a tear in that composite material and the honeycomb material where down the line that tear becomes a failure. We haven't had these planes around long enough to really know. Now, again, Boeing says, well, we simulated 167,000 flights and it wasn't a problem. He says, as an engineer at Boeing, that it will be a problem after a plane pressurizes and depressurizes enough, takeoff and landing, and these planes are beginning to get up there in age. The 787 has been around for 12, 13 years, so some of the older ones have a lot of cycles on them, takeoffs and landings, and he's saying eventually that's going to rip apart and blow apart in the air. Boeing says, no, it's not, and that they're totally safe.
Well, Salapour, his story is that when he started airing these grievances within Boeing, they told him to shut up. And that one supervisor said if he said that in a meeting with me, I'd kill him.
Yeah, those were his claims. Again, you know, he doesn't really have any way to back any of that up, but that is what he told lawmakers today, and that he says he has been sidelined, that he's been pushed out from his job at Boeing, even though he still works at Boeing, and that he has faced retaliation. Now, that would be in line with what some other whistleblowers have come up with. Boeing, on their side, they claim that no, they get a lot of whistleblower complaints. We don't hear about most of them. They investigate them. They handle those that are valid and investigate those that are not valid and deal with those. But they are welcoming and they want whistleblowers to come forward for the safety of airline safety. But
oh, I'm sure they do.
High profile whistleblowers, they have a different story to tell.
Yeah, I'm sure they want more whistleblowers coming forward. That's done great for the stock price. I heard this morning it went from 270 to 170. It's just that there's no way to know until years down the road if a plane bursts into pieces.
Yeah, in air when it's pressurized and the forces on the plane and they're at 38,000 feet and something happens there. So yeah, you got that, and then obviously the MAX issues and the other guy Ed Pearson, he claims that there's been a huge cover up on the safety of the 737 MAX. So these are their best selling planes, the MAX, the 737. The 777, there are a lot of those flying in the U.S. right now. The 787, a lot of those flying around the world. These are the bread and butter of Boeing, and now they're having to defend them.
All right, Alex, thanks for coming on.
You got it. Thanks, Sean.
A lot of good stuff in there. We'll talk some more about this. Alex Stone from ABC News.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're going to have John Franklin on, the mayor of Vista. I want you to hear this coming up after Ashley's 2 o'clock news. In fact, I'm going to play a clip that we ran yesterday. He testified in Sacramento. They were considering a bill. You're not going to believe this. They were considering a bill in Sacramento to block homeless encampments if they were within 500 feet of schools and parks. We have a limited version of that bill here in Los Angeles. A city council person has to apply to declare a certain zone off limits to homeless encampments. And they generally use it for parks and schools. Took a long time to get that passed. And it's being used all over Los Angeles now. But there were always council people against it. It's really simple. This is not complicated. You can't have a homeless encampment within 500 feet of a school or a park, period. Well, ran into a brick wall with the Assembly Public Safety Committee. And we're going to play you a clip of John Franklin, the mayor of Vista, trying to explain to the idiots on the Assembly Public Safety Committee what it's like if you're a child and you have to navigate past a group of drug addicts and mental patients. Play the clip.
From a parent, this morning a homeless man became aggressive and hostile toward me simply because he was asked to leave the area that children were walking to school. The person refused to leave when law enforcement was called to remove them, and all of the young kindergartners watched. This is not something that kindergartners or any student should be experiencing on their way to school. From a student, while walking to school, it makes me feel very unsafe to have them walk by and sit on the sidewalk and even at one of the exits to our schools. It makes me feel anxious. I don't understand why the police department won't help us. from another student. I feel nervous sometimes when I walk to school and usually try to walk with other people because the homeless scare me. I don't think it's right that I should feel nervous when all I want to do is go to school. From a parent, the behavior of these homeless individuals is not only vulgar, but it is harassing, also unsanitary. Their living conditions often result in unsanitary uncleanliness, which poses a serious health risk for the children in our community. And finally, from the porter at one of our schools, every morning I have to clean pee and poop off of the entrance. One time a homeless man smeared his poop all over the emergency door.
There you go. That's John Wagner, the mayor of Vista. He lays that out. That's the reality, right? That's what homeless people do. They smear poop all over the emergency door at a school. Of course, that's what they do because they're either mentally ill or they're addicted to drugs. They're out of their minds either way. And people who are insane like to smear their poo all over the place. Now, you can imagine the kind of disease that little children could catch if they touched a door handle that had homeless poo on it. Not to mention, you know, the urine, the vomit, the garbage, the rats. But this bill to move homeless camps at least 500 feet away from schools and parks lost in committee, assembly committee, 3-1. Two of the most outspoken were two women, Nancy Skinner, Democrat from Berkeley, and Aisha Wahab, a Democrat from Hayward. And I guess they think it's okay for homeless people to smear poo on school doorknobs. It's okay by them. And they voted this down. This is not about tearing down all the encampments and banning them. It's just keeping away from schools and park. That's all. You can't even get that out of this crowd. And the way it would work is you got 72 hours of warning. And then you're going to get a list of places to go and get help, right? Because we're told, you know, they need help. Okay, well, here's the help. Let's go. Get out of here. But they voted down. The women on the, usually you tell stories about children having to deal with vulgar, frightening bad guys laying in wait for them on the walk to school and the poo on the doorknobs. You think, you know, the motherly instinct would kick in there and saying, oh my God, this is terrible. We don't have this in most societies. It's not permitted. Well, for Nancy Skinner and let me get the other lady's name right, Aisha Wahab. Yeah, little children just have to deal with that. They have to deal with the discomfort, the fear, the disgust. John Franklin, the mayor of Vista. You heard him talking. We'll be on next.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.